Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Praise you, the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Deacon Edward Blakely. He is the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd there at the Morning Star Baptist Church. So the Sunday School Superintendent, Deacon Edward Blakely, will be bringing forth God's Word on tonight. If you mark your calendars, and if you already know that, he comes forth every third Saturday night delivering God's Word. So you know you're going to need your Bibles, your pens and paper ready. Especially for the new listeners on the night that's tuning in for the first time, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along as we go through God's Word together on tonight. We always open up with prayer, so I'm asking all the listeners if you would please pray with me, because we do serve an awesome God. He can not only hear, but he can answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again on tonight, giving you the glory, honor, and praise that you so well deserve. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We bless your name. You're worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. And we thank you that you are in total control at all times. So now, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Edward Blakely and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, because we all sin and come short of your glory. So that's why we are so grateful on tonight for your Son, Jesus Christ, of the risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, that is through him we're saved first and foremost, and then we can come through him and be forgiven of all of our sins and transgressions. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on tonight, Heavenly Father. We thank you for it, and we know we don't deserve it. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward each one of us, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your Spirit, continue to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved of tonight. I lift up the family of the late brother, Clifton Buchanan, who made his home transition on business for yesterday. And we just bless his spirit and his memory, and we thank you for his wife, Loretta Buchanan. They were married for 66 years, and we thank you for that entire family, the Buchanan family. We ask that you would comfort and strengthen them, not only that family, but all those that have lost loved ones for whatever reason all over the land. Comfort and strengthen, Heavenly Father, as long as you can, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that lift up all those that are sick and afflicted, touch, heal, and deliver. Heavenly Father, as long as you can, because we do know that you're still working miracle signs and wonders in the earth for your glory. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your Spirit as we go forth through this world, through your word on tonight, through your man of God, Deacon Edward Blakely, and through your Holy Spirit. Touch him, Lord. Lead and guide him that he would deliver your word as you have given it to him to give to your people on tonight. And our prayer and our hope and desire that should there be anyone that's listening on tonight that's still spiritually blind, is our hope and desire and prayer that something will be said that will touch their hearts, Lord. They will open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgressions, and they will ask Jesus Christ out of their own mouth to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight so that you would get the glory. And through your word on tonight, we pray that backsliders will come back to the fold and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tonight. Help us to decrease it so that you may increase in us, that you alone will get the glory, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, okay.
Amen.
We do have another spiritual food for thought, and it comes to us saying, as Christians need to watch and pray. You know, it would be good to pray. We must pray. But we are living in a time where we must be watching and praying. So, again, the spiritual food for thought for tonight, Christians need to watch and pray. So right now I'm announcing once again that I hope you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, because after we do this short music break, we're going to come back and we're going to give the mic to none other than the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, Deacon Edward Blakely, is going to be bringing forth God's word on tonight. Once again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along after this short music break.
My soul loves you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I give you praise. God is worthy to be praised. Before I bring on Deacon Blakely, I know that some of the members from the David Woods, excuse me, from the Woods family may be listening in on tonight. We want to keep that family lifted up in prayer. The family of the late Mother Woods from the Greater Shoulder Faith Baptist Church made a transition, and she was funeralized on yesterday. So she was the mother of 13 children, one daughter and 12 sons. Mother Woods from the Greater Shoulder Faith would have been 95 years old next month. But we thank God for her life, her spirit. We want to keep her family, Sister Mary Davis, her only daughter, Mary Davis, and the entire Woods family, keep them lifted up in prayer. And also my neighbor, Miss Loretta Buchanan, my old neighbor on where I grew up at, Midberry Street on the east side of Detroit. Mother Buchanan, her husband made his heavenly transition on the day before yesterday, Brother Clifton Buchanan. So his services have not been finalized yet. But we want to keep that entire Buchanan family lifted up in prayer as well. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Edward Blakely as he gets ready to prepare to deliver God's word on tonight. Once again, I pray and hope you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready. You are once again listening to or tuned in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show, and I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr. And I ask that you email me if you have any comments or feedback that you would like to relay to me or send to me. You can always email me at all lowercase. My email address is James_Brown1558@yahoo.com. That's James_Brown1558@yahoo.com. If you'd like to send me comments or feedback, I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. Now, Deacon Edward Blakely, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Our topic today is, how does one walk in the Spirit, and who's walking with you? I'm going to start in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. We're going to explore how it is we are able to walk in the Spirit, how it is we are able to walk with God, with the Holy Spirit, and make the connection with our spirit daily. We're going to start at verse 16 of chapter 5 in the King James Version. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these things: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is long-suffering, it is gentleness, it is goodness, it is faith, it is meekness, it is temperance. And against such things there is no law. Amen. We are talking about today. God has been putting on me, or at least on my mind, or pressing on my soul to say something about how it is that we walk in the Spirit, how it is that we are able to walk in the Spirit. First of all, I want to express my thankfulness to God. God, I thank you that you provided a way, that you provided your only begotten Son, and you provided his life, his death, his resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, Father God. We are so thankful. Well, Father God, on this evening, help us to understand clearly. Help us give a clear understanding of how we are to walk, how we are to attain the power to resist the flesh. In this scripture here that I just read, it says, and then I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh, when man is born, we are born into sin, and we are shaped by the iniquity, the things around us that train us up. And if we are without Jesus Christ, if we are without Jesus Christ dwelling within us, and if we are without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are at the mercy of the spirit of the world, which is Satan, which is the devil. There is no other spirit. Either we are walking with the Spirit of God, or we are automatically walking in the spirit of the world. Jesus said, here's life and here's death. He didn't say choose life or choose death. He said, here's life, here's death, choose life. There's life in the spirit. We can even go back to Genesis and see in creation how God created everything. He created something one day, and he said it was good. Then he created the next thing the next day, and it was good. You can go back in Genesis and read it. But when it comes to Adam, he says he formed him. He formed him from the dust of the earth. And then he breathed his breath into his nostrils. And then he became a living soul with a spirit. God knew what he was doing. God came in the cool of the day. Every day in the cool of the day, he came and he walked with Adam, instructed Adam, counseled Adam, taught Adam, guided Adam. He guided him by the Spirit. God is a spirit. God will not talk to my flesh. He will not speak to your flesh. He will speak to the spirit, the breath that we have in us. But when Adam fell in the garden, make no mistake about it, Adam is the one who fell. He fell in the garden. God separated himself and told him he would surely die. Death being the separation, a barrier being placed between us and God. A barrier was placed between Adam and God. He could no longer commune with God daily. God would not any longer come and commune with him daily. So how do we walk in the Spirit? God has provided a way. When I was without Jesus Christ living in the world, I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. So there was a barrier, because now I am of Adam. I was of Adam. Sin. I had a sin nature. So I was the enemy of God. God called me his enemy. But God provided a way. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was born again. The spirit in me was dead. It was dead to the kingdom of God. My spirit that's in my soul, that's with my soul, was dead to the kingdom of God. So there was no relationship between myself and God because the barrier was there. The Holy Spirit could not come in. There was a barrier. So when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we all accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, here's the true baptism. The Holy Spirit comes in and baptizes you and I into Christ, and then baptizes Christ into you and I, baptizes Christ into us. And then the power of the Holy Spirit comes with it and dwells in us. That power of the Holy Spirit is the very same power that raised Jesus from the grave. God's Holy Spirit is powerful. It's mightier. It's mightier than any power, because God, the Holy Spirit of God, is the one who does the word of God. He does the command of God. He always, never fails. He obeys the word of God. And he will never teach you, guide you with anything other than the word of God. And when Christ comes to live in you, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But we have to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. And the way we hear from the Holy Spirit is by the Spirit that dwells, by our own spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, and our spirit in turn speaks to our soul, and our souls is the house, or is what contains our intellect, our ability to think. And in our soul also dwells our will. God gave us our own will, and in the soul is our will. Our will is the ability to choose this or to choose that. And it depends on what is influencing your intellect, your mind, or your thinking. That will influence your will, what you will choose to and choose not to do. And also in the soul is our emotions. The things that make us feel happy, the things that make us feel sad, the things that make us feel guilty, the things that make us feel glad, the things that make us feel joy. So who are you listening to? Who is speaking to your spirit? We have to, after accepting accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, very first step to a relationship with God, to taking that barrier away. Death is the absence of God, the absence of a relationship with God. When that barrier is there, there is no relationship with God. When the Holy Spirit comes in, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit after being baptized into Christ, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we are able to open our spirit to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as I said, will only teach what God says. It will only do what God commands. The Holy Spirit is almighty, all-powerful, and it has all the authority of God. And he has all the authority of God. And he teaches and does what God says, the word of God. So he will teach your spirit and train your spirit, and your spirit will speak to your soul, the intellect part of your soul. And when the intellect part of your soul is being trained by your spirit, which is being trained by the Holy Spirit, your intellect will train your will. Therefore, we will be able, by the power of God. It is the power of God Almighty. It is the power, as I said before, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. It is the same power living in us. As the scripture says here, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If the flesh, without the power of the Holy Spirit, if the flesh is warring against spirit, my spirit, then I don't have the power to overcome the flesh. The flesh will overcome my spirit. But God made a way. Thank God he made a way for the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell with us. But we have to train ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I don't like that word walking with the Spirit, but that is what is written. But I don't want to change it. I want to translate it into living in the Spirit. Living every day in the Spirit. God, in the beginning with Adam, God came in the cool of the day and walked with Adam daily. Walked with Adam daily, influencing Adam's mind, his thinking, his intellect, and building Adam. And the same will be true with us when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and we allow our spirit to open up and hear from the Holy Spirit. Our spirit will be teaching our intellect only what God says, only what thus says the Lord. It will only teach, and then we grow and we build and we we are transformed daily. But we must be walking in the Spirit to hear from the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is putting what God says above everything, above all things. There are other things in the world that will distract us, take our attention from the Word, take our attention from the Spirit. But if we are built up in the Word daily, if we are reading the Word of God, if we are reading the Word of God daily, if we are praying daily, if we are worshiping daily, if we are praising daily, if we are doing this, if we are doing daily what God did with Adam, if we are doing that daily with the Holy Spirit, we are in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit. And when we are in the Spirit, my spirit is open to God's Holy Spirit, the most powerful entity there is the power of God's Holy Spirit. When God said, let there be light, in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the dark, and there was light. The Holy Spirit did everything. The Holy Spirit is God's, I like to say, is God's doer. It does what God says. And we ought to be doers of the word. We are not, we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a spirit, but we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Not within our spirit. But if we are to become, if we want to become doers of the word, that's why it's so important that we read the word and attend church, Bible class, or Sunday school, and hear the word and keep hearing the word and keep hearing the word and keep hearing the word until what is mostly in my intellect is the word of God. Then I believe the word. I choose. That's faith. When you believe the word, you believe the word and then act on the word. That is walking or living in the Spirit. Then the Spirit becomes more important. It becomes, in your life, the Spirit becomes more important than the natural. We still live in a natural world. We are like, we will be kingdom living. We will be living a kingdom life, though we still live here on earth. I like to compare it to like an ambassadorship. We are ambassadors. We are from another kingdom. We are living here. If you've ever been in another country and you go, I was spent time in the military, and if you ever been in another country, there's embassies there. Even though it's a foreign country, but when you go to that embassy there, you are in America. You are, even though you are in that other country, you are on American soil. And that embassy is sovereign. That country has nothing to do with that embassy, and it can't control that embassy. And if you are kingdom living, living in the spirit, you are an ambassador here. You are a representative of God's kingdom here. And God will protect what is here. God is sovereign. God's sovereignty, it reaches beyond borders. It reaches beyond. It reaches beyond all. Everything comes under the sovereignty of God. So therefore, God will protect what is his. Remember, God is a spirit. So God will speak in spirit. He will act in spirit. His spirit will act on our behalf. God is almighty. God, the spirit of God is almighty. And who can war against the almighty? None can war against it. So the Holy Spirit can help us with our strength. Where we are weak, he is strong. We can fight off the flesh. We have the ability to, if we believe that he is, that God the Holy Spirit is who he says he is, who God says he is, and represents God the way God says he represents. We still have struggles with our flesh. Our flesh is like the salesman who won't go away. He wants to sell you something, and he won't go away. He keeps going at you when you tell him you don't want it. He keeps going at you. He keeps coming, and he keeps coming because the flesh wants what the flesh wants, and that's just the flesh. We have to live in it. But God, by his Holy Spirit, can war against the flesh and have victory over the flesh. We can kill our flesh daily by starving it, by filling ourselves up with the Word of God, hearing, reading, and hearing, and reading, and hearing, and reading the Word of God daily. I prayed. I didn't have a job, and I prayed for this, and I started seeing that God was on my side. Opportunity opened up. I wasn't quite experienced enough, but I did come in. They did accept me, and they said they would train me, and I went in. And all the other guys there, they really didn't want me there. They didn't feel like I was qualified. They didn't want me there. But I started out then. I started out then saying, I got up every morning, and I asked God, come and be with me today. Help me through this day today. And each day I woke up in that same spirit, in that same mode. And when I went to work, I took that spirit with me. And no matter what they did, they tried to ostracize me, you know, push me aside and not give me quite the opportunity to succeed. But God is with me. Spirit is with me. His spirit is dwelling in me and allowed me to overcome. I didn't give up because I had the strength, because I knew that God by his Holy Spirit was with me, and it would allow me to overcome. My flesh wanted to quit. My flesh wanted me to feel frustration and quit. But the spirit in me that is greater than the thing outside of me said, keep moving, keep pushing, keep going, keep going, keep going, and trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He sent you here. He won't let you fail. He won't allow you to fail. So we walk, so I walk in the spirit. I've learned to walk in the spirit. Sometimes in conflicts or in situations, you grow. I grew in how to walk in the spirit. I grew in trusting that the Lord is with me, trusting that the Spirit of God is the voice that I familiar with, and I won't hear any other voice. Other voices will say, give up. Other voices will say, become frustrated. Other voices will speak to my intellect and tell my intellect to tell my will to choose what's contrary to what the will of God is. The Holy Spirit knows all about you. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what God has put you up to. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what your purpose is. And the Holy Spirit will not let you fail if you walk and bend your ears, keep your ears inclined to hear what your spirit telling you, telling your intellect, telling you how to think, how to choose, how is God's way of guiding us. This is what God did when he came in the cool of the evening and communed with Adam. He guided, he taught, he instructed, and the Holy Spirit does that. He does that in our lives when we live in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit, as I said, I think I've said it already, living in the Spirit is being in tune with and keeping that barrier between yourself and God open, keeping it out of the way. And the only way to keep it out of the way is keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Christ that lives in you. Keep your focus. If Christ is living in you, in you, the Holy Spirit is also present with you, in you. And that's the power. That's where your power comes from. I am weak, but he is strong. And believe that he's strong enough to overcome, to help you to overcome. I always ask God to help me. I even say all the time that the best job that you can have is working for God, because he will give you the job, instruct you on it, and then he will give you the power to succeed. He will give you the power to succeed. You don't do it on your own. You don't do it all on your own, because God's will for your life, God has a good plan for your life and for my life, and he's made this way. He's made his way by his Holy Spirit to power you, to empower you, to do all that he has planned for you, all that he has purposed your life for. Walking in the Spirit, I try to put the things in order, but, you know, a relationship with God is key. But you can't have the relationship with God until after you accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you don't have me, you don't have the Father. If you don't have the Father, you don't have me. You don't have the Holy Spirit if you don't have Christ. And you don't have the Father if you don't have the Son. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. But remember I said, well, let's go here. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God poured himself into a man. Can you imagine a clear glass and you pour like dirty water in it, dirty mop water in it, and then take clean water and pour it in that same glass. And side by side, the dirty water and the clean water is in that glass, but they never mix. Never mix. The sin nature, man, God, Jesus had a sin nature. Jesus didn't have a sin nature. Jesus had a human nature, a human side, and then he had a divine side, and the two never mix. If you read your Bible and you read and really read all through Jesus' ministry, I couldn't find where he ever called God, God. He always called him Father, our Father, my Father, your Father, our Father. He always called him Father. That's how close the relationship was between Jesus and God the Father. He called him Father all the time until he went to the cross. And just before he gave up the ghost, he said, God, why have you left me? God, why have you forsaken me? God, because sin was put on him. All the sins of my sins, your sin, our sins, the sins of the world were placed on him. And he died. And the power of the Holy Spirit raised him up in 3 days, raised him up from the grave. Now he has all power. And God has made it possible for him to dwell in us. He is our salvation. He is my life. I live. He lives in me. He lives instead of me. But that one entity that we hardly ever talk about, I haven't been long in church, but I've been around church long enough, and I heard enough sermons, and they kind of mention God, the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't really get to understand the power of the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit, how he works in us on our behalf. And that connection there is that he works through our spirit. He trains our spirit. And our own spirit speaks to our soul, speaks to our intellect. I'm going over the same thing again. His spirit, God's, the Holy Spirit, speaks and trains our spirit so our spirit can speak to our intellect, our ability to think. Then our ability to think, it influences our decision-making. And then it also in the soul dwells our emotion, that lives our emotion. And we feel good about what we do because of what our intellect has caused our will to choose, the choices that our will has made. And we feel good about them. We can feel good about them whether we are walking with the spirit of the world or whether we're walking with the spirit of God. If we are being fed by the world, the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of Satan, it will enter in our intellect, and our intellect will make decisions according to the will of the world, according to the spirit of the world, and our emotions will enjoy these things that he just, that God's word just gave us. These things are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and on and on and on. Our spirit, our intellect, if our intellect is influencing our will to make these choices, then our emotions will go along with it. We'll enjoy it, and we'll have a great life until the consequences come. And then we have sorrow, we have bitterness, we have anger, we have all that in us. Everything that's contrary to the will of God, everything that's contrary to what God wants for my life or for your life, for our lives. But if we are walking in the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, then we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, and it is joy, and it is peace, and it is long-suffering, and it is gentleness, and it is godliness, and it is goodness, and it is faith, and it is meekness, and it is temperance. When you are living, when we are walking in the Spirit, our lives are balanced. We have troubles. We have trouble. But we know that we have a helper. When Jesus left here, he said, I'll send you another helper. He didn't say a different helper, a different kind of helper. He said, I'll send you another helper. And this helper, it dwells in us, with us. Jesus also said that when he ascended, he said he would return. This is why I'm going to take you back to Adam. He said, I will return and you and you will meet me in the air. You will meet me in the air. I don't like that word air either, but I don't want to change God's word, but I do want to translate that. You will meet me in the breath, in that same breath that he breathed into that form. When he formed Adam out of the dust, he breathed into that form, and that form became a living soul with a spirit. The spirit is what Jesus said when he said, "I'll meet. We will meet in the air. We will meet in that breath. We will meet in the spirit of God. We will meet in that spirit. If we will walk in the spirit, if we will live in the spirit, we will meet in the spirit. Because if we live in the spirit, if we trained ourselves to live in the spirit, now that we know how to listen to the spirit, the power of the spirit, and we can trust the spirit of God, we can trust the spirit of God, because the spirit of God will only do the word of God. If we learn to trust in it and hear that spirit, and allow open our spirit and allow that spirit to speak to our spirit and let our spirit speak to our mental faculties or our intellect, and then we are more able to live in the spirit. The spirit realm becomes more, it becomes broader and wider in our lives than just the physical things of the world, just the things of the world, just the want and the desires of the world. They can't overcome us because we are walking in the spirit and we are bound to meet him in the spirit. We are bound to meet him, and when he returns, we are bound. We know by the spirit we are bound to meet him in the air. That is our hope. That is our destination. That is my destination, to become eternal with him, to be one with him in the air, to be like him. He said when we see him, when we meet him in the air, we will be like him, and he will be like us. We will become eternal. That is the why we walk in the spirit. But the how is to connect with God's Holy Spirit. I don't want to say that the Holy Spirit is the main entity of the triune God, but it is the doer. And so many of us have trouble doing the word of God. And this is the how we get to do the word of God. This is how we overcome the spirit of the world. Jesus said one time that if the truth is not in you, he was speaking of the Pharisees, he said the truth is not in them. So therefore they will do the work of their father, the devil. It wasn't like he was saying they're bad people or they're this or they're that, and they just, he was saying, because I'm not living in them, I'm not dwelling in them with the Holy Spirit. They speak a good Jesus game, and they talk a good Jesus game, and they have a walk, a certain kind of walk that looks all religious-y, and it looks like it's of God, but it's not. They're walking in the spirit of the world. They've chosen the things of the world, and they're not living a life in the spirit. The spirit realm is not as important to them as the physical things they have or the riches they have or the power that they have. But if we walk in the spirit, that this is the why again, if we walk in the spirit, we will meet him in the air. We will inherit eternity. We will inherit eternity if we learn to live in the spirit. If we become trained by the Spirit, if we become trained of the Spirit, we will become spirit-minded. We will become God's spirit-minded. And as a man thinks in his heart, the word says in his heart, but as a man thinks in his spirit, which governs his intellect, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You will become more like Christ. You will become more like Christ. You will become more broadened in the spirit than you are in the flesh. The flesh will become weaker. The spirit will become stronger. The spirit will become a more of a force because it's backed by God's Holy Spirit. Walking in the spirit, key to almost everything, even the things that you have to accomplish in the world while walking in the spirit, you can accomplish them better. You can do what you want, what you desire, because you're not warring with another spirit. You're not warring with the flesh because your soul, once it is trained by the Holy Spirit, it has power over the flesh. It can command the flesh to do because it's backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit is the most powerful thing there is. There is no power greater than the Holy Spirit because it is the Spirit of God. It is the part of God that does things, that accomplish things. And if you know your God, you know he's almighty and he will accomplish everything that he says he would. If you go and look at the Bible as history and read it up from the Old Testament all the way through the New, God has never failed. He has never failed at anything because he is almighty. He's all-knowing. He knows who you are. He knows what he wants, who you should be. He knows where you should go. He knows who you should be involved with. He knows, and his Holy Spirit knows everything he knows. So he knows all about you and I. So we give out, we surrender our spirit over to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to teach our spirit how to walk with God, how to walk in relationship with God. So we talked about two different things, how to walk in the spirit and also why we walk in the spirit. We walk in the Spirit because of the hope to come, Jesus' return. We walk in the Spirit, so we are trained up in that way. So when he comes, I say it's like, well, I'll do my homework now, so I won't have to do it on the bus on the way to school. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in the Spirit now, so I don't have to get trained. When he comes, I've already got some experience of walking in relationship with God. God is coming, and he's coming, and he's going to be a spirit, and you're not going to be able to walk with him unless you can meet him in the spirit. You can meet him in the very same breath that he breathed into Adam, the air. That's what that air, when it says, well, different versions of the Bible say, meet him in the spirit, meet him in the air, or meet him in the breath. In that very breath, God's spirit was breathed into Adam long, long ago. And that very same spirit, that same very same breath, is keeping you and I and millions of people alive this very day. But we have to learn walk with it, live with it, and let it teach us. We need to really open our spirit to God's spirit. That is the how. And we just went over the why. We will not be able to inherit the kingdom of God. We will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we are able to meet him in the air, in the breath, in the spirit. And we might as well start training now. This is God is not playing with it. You can look around the world now and see, and it's so obvious and plain that God is not playing. He's coming, and he's shaking. He's troubling the water. He's troubling everything. He's trying to get our attention. This is for correction.
Oh, yeah.
We need to turn and start walking the way he says walk. Repentance is the idea, but walking in the Spirit is a more marvelous idea of walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you can't help but repent. You can't help but confess what you've done wrong. Your weaknesses. And then he's there to help. He's there to help, to grow you, to build you up, to fortify you in the Spirit. So the Spirit is the biggest part of you. The Spirit needs to be the biggest part of you for us to succeed in the life, in this life, and to succeed when he comes, to be prepared when he comes. When they say be prepared for him come, what are we being prepared for? We're being prepared to be taken up in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are not walking in the Spirit, if we don't even understand what walking in the Spirit means, or we don't know the real, true importance of why we should walk in the Spirit, then we will deny the truth. We will deny the truth that he's coming. We will deny the truth that he's going to take us up in the Spirit. We will deny it because we don't understand it. Let's understand what, first of all, why we walk in the Spirit, and then, well, first of all, how to walk in the Spirit, and then why we should walk. Those two things are so important to your life, to your eternal life and your present life. Those things are truly, truly important. And we got to give God the Holy Spirit a more pronounced position in our life. We give Jesus his. Jesus deserves every bit. And we give God his due because God deserves every bit. But we need to give the Holy Spirit more of his due so that he can operate, so he can operate the word of God in our life. So he can teach us by spirit to spirit. His spirit to spirit. Everything is spirit to spirit with God. God, because God is a spirit. So everything has to be spirit to spirit with him. We have to worship him in spirit. We have to praise him in spirit. We have to pray in the Spirit. If we don't, then there's that blockade. There's that petition between ourselves and a relationship with God. If we're not in the Spirit when we commune with God, we have to be in the Spirit. That's why God breathed into Adam. As I was saying, he created everything. And he said everything was good, but he created. But when it came to Adam, he didn't create Adam. He formed him. He formed him from the dust of the earth. And then he breathed a spirit into him. And then he became a living soul. And then he could walk spirit to spirit with Adam. Daily walking close to him every day. I say walk with God, live with God, live with the Spirit of God every day. You know, we have that thing all the time. It's the spirit of the thing. It's the spirit of the season. It's the spirit of Thanksgiving. It's the spirit of Christmas. It's the spirit of the competition. It's the spirit of the spirit. The spirit is the most important thing, and we need to walk with it. We need to walk with the Word,
Amen.
But the Word is Spirit. God's Word, our Spirit, or is Spirit.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Spirit.
Praise the Lord, Deacon Bakery. Our time is up right now. I do want to say I tried to let you get that last part in, but our time is up right now. But I do want to say thank you so much for coming. That, you know, once we get started delivering God's Word, how the time flies by.
Yes,
but God's word has not gone out void. It's going to accomplish everything that God set out for it to do, because he knew who was going to be listening, and he knows what we all stand in need of. So I thank you so much, Deacon Ricky, for coming forth.
Thank you, Brother Brown, for having me once again.
Oh, no problem. So I just want to remind the listeners that mark your calendars. Remember that the Sunday school superintendent, whom you just heard, delivering this word on tonight, none other than Deacon Edward Blakely from the Morning Star Baptist Church. you will be bringing forth God's word every third Saturday night. So you want to mark your calendars for next Thursday night, the next third Saturday night in July. Deacon Abel Bailey will be coming back with another word from the Lord. So we're going to close out with our music break song as we close out, Pray For Me, in the form of the musical version of Pray For Me. The Lord said the prayers of the righteous avail as much. And God is still working through his power. He's still working through his spirit. So we thank God for who he is on tonight. We ask that you will continue to stay prayerful. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Amen.